I'm turning God's Word this morning to Proverbs chapter 3. This is a passage that Nate himself chose for the sermon this morning. I'd asked him if he had a favorite passage, and he spoke of this one and thought this will work well for the occasion, verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs 3. We'll read the first 12 verses of Proverbs chapter 3. Understand that you have Solomon speaking to his son here. It's the beginning chapters of the book of Proverbs. A father giving instruction to his son. And so that's how we hear this and read this as well. And that's why it begins the way that it does. Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And thus far we read God's word. Text this morning is verses 5 and 6, those well-known verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's pray together. Father, as now we sit into the preaching of the gospel, we remember what the preaching is. It is Thee, our God, speaking to us through Thy servant. And that Thou dost do this for the strengthening of our faith. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt use the word about trusting in Thee this morning to strengthen our faith, so that we would look to Thee and Thee only, trusting in Thee and Thy promises, trusting in who Thou art and what Thou hast done. So, Father, use this word to strengthen us, especially in the different circumstances that we face in our lives. Give strength to Thy servant as he brings this word, and open our hearts to receive it. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said before I read Proverbs 3, you have in the beginning chapters of the book of Proverbs a father speaking to his son. It's Solomon speaking to his son about how his son ought to live, teaching his son the way of wisdom. It's not just any parenting we have, though, here in the book of Proverbs, but what we have is inspired parenting. Parenting that we ought to look at and learn from. We, no doubt, as parents, teach our children this very thing, what we have before us this morning, that they are to trust in the Lord. But it's not just a father teaching his son, it's our Heavenly Father coming before us as well in this word and teaching us as his children how we are to live before his face in the way of wisdom. And one of the important ways that we live in wisdom before our Father is this, it's trusting in Him. But as we consider this word, there is a question that we ought to keep in mind as we look at this. We're called to trust in the Lord, but can we? Can we really trust God? Can we really trust God with everything? That's really the question that arises out of this when we're called to trust in the Lord. Why should we? in all the adversity of life that we face, and we know that God is sovereign over it all, can we trust Him in the midst of it? We all experience adversity in our lives. We experience, some of us, physical pain, some emotional pain. Some pain is traumatic, it's sudden, it's devastating. There are things that happen and we just say, I didn't see it coming. But then there are other sufferings that are chronic, persistent, they're seemingly without end. They seem to wear us down, to wear us out. We might wonder in the midst of those things too, can we trust in God? And then it gets at another question, why exactly do we trust in God? Well, it's because of who He is and what He's done. We can trust in God because of who He is and what He has done. And so even in this word that comes to us and says, trust in the Lord, the focus in this is on the Lord. So this morning we have good encouragement that is given to us, and good encouragement that is given to Nate this morning. He's made confession of faith. Many of us here have made confession of our faith. We have said in that confession that we know and believe the truth of the Word of God. We know and believe that Jesus is our Savior. We know and believe that the Holy Spirit is working in us and changing us. We know and believe the promises of God's Word. We've made that confession, as Nate has this morning. Now, this word is important because it gives us instruction of how to live out of that. We trust in the Lord. And that's the theme then this morning, trust in the Lord. Really, three words we want to remember as we look at this: exclusive, comprehensive, and confident. There's exclusive trust, trust only in the Lord. Secondly, it's comprehensive. It's in all things, not some things, but in all things we trust in Him. And then finally, there's confidence that we have as we trust in Him. That's the end of the text, and He shall direct thy paths. So first of all, exclusive. We want to see and understand, first of all, then this morning, what trust is. Well, trust is the activity of faith. So when we talk about trust, we're talking about faith. And then we remember what the Scriptures tell us about faith. And here's where we ought to begin. Faith is the gift of God. That's Ephesians 2, verse 8. Faith is the gift of God. We have faith, we trust in God, because we've been given this gift. This is God's gift to all those whom He has chosen, and all those whom He has redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He unites all of His people to Jesus Christ. They're united to Christ by the bond of faith, and therefore they have the life of Jesus Christ within them. And they live out of that relationship and that bond with Jesus Christ by trusting in God and His promises. Remember what the Heidelberg Catechism says about faith. That faith is knowledge and confidence. When we talk about trust this morning, we're talking about the confidence of faith that is based upon knowledge, what we know of God. And so when we place our trust in God, we place our trust, our confidence in Him alone. That concept, that idea of confidence, that's the very idea of the word trust that we have here in the text. That word trust means to confide in someone, to set one's hope or confidence on something, to throw oneself on something with confidence. And then also, there's another term, the text speaks of leaning. Lean not on your own understanding. Well, leaning is also another word for trust. When you trust that something's going to hold you up, you lean on it. If this table were made out of paper, or this table were made out of straw, or made out of styrofoam, I might not trust it to lean on it, even on the edge like this. But because it's made out of wood, it's solid, I know I can lean on it. With a chair that you sit on, the same thing. If you see a chair has a broken leg, And a chair that normally would have four legs only has three that are functioning. You're not going to sit on that chair because you don't have the confidence it's going to hold you up. But when you have a chair that's made out of wood, made out of steel, even made out of plastic and steel, you know it's going to hold you up. You have a confidence. And so you lean on it. You'll sit on it. You'll rest on it. That's the idea of faith. There's confidence in someone or something. Now, our confidence is in God, the one true and living God. We trust in the Lord, knowing that He is able to sustain us and He is able to hold us up. But we see and understand this then about faith. Faith, as it is a gift of God to us, becomes active in our lives. It does. That happens in the life of the child of God. It's active. But that activity of faith is not without struggle. It doesn't happen automatically that we trust in God for everything and that we trust alone in Him. Think of Peter. When in that great storm, he was in that boat and Jesus came walking on the water and Peter dared to venture out on those stormy seas. It is when his eyes were on Jesus, he was able to walk on that water. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus and saw the storm and looked at the waves and saw the wind, then he began to sink. Is that not our lives? There are times when we're focused on God, we're seeing Jesus like we should, but then there are other times we're focused on the storm and we begin to sink, as it were. That's the struggle of our lives in faith. We're struggling to trust in God as He calls us to do. And that's why this word is so important for us, so important for Nate, but so important for all of us too in what it is that we face in our lives. And so here we see and understand the text is saying to us, trust in the Lord alone. That comes out in this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then in the second part of verse 5, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's emphasizing as well that we are to trust alone in the Lord. When it comes right down to it, though, the text is telling us, here is where the struggle is at in our lives. Between these two options, trusting in the Lord or leaning on our own understanding. And understand that if you're leaning on your own understanding, what that means is you're not trusting in the Lord. So they're the opposites of each other. You can't have it both ways. And sometimes we try to do that too. We'll say, I'm leaning on God, I'm trusting in Him, but at the same time, we want to lean on our own understanding. Or we divide the two. Sometimes we're trusting in the Lord, but at other times, I'm going to trust in myself and my own conclusion, the way I want to deal with things, whether that's people or medication or doctors or whatever it may be. And no, the Word of God comes to us and says, you're to trust only in the Lord. And so to drive that home, the text says, lean not on your own understanding. Our own understanding is our own perception of things. See, understanding is based on what we know, and then that usually will control the decisions that we make. Our own understanding of things is not something that can be trusted. To lean on our own understanding is like sitting down on a chair that's made of paper. It's like sitting down on a chair that only has three legs. One of them is broken. It's not going to hold us up. You can't hold you up. I can't hold me up. To lean on my own understanding is dangerous. That's what the text is bringing out. Why is that? It's because I cannot be trusted. My own understanding and perception of things cannot be trusted. Why is that? Because my heart is deceptive. It can be deceived. My understanding can be deceived because of my sinful nature. but understand our proneness to lean on our own understanding. You look at the Scriptures and you find many of God's people who at times were leaning on their own understanding. Then you understand what that means. I think, for example, of Abraham and Sarah in their lives. We recently had that in the catechism classes for the first through third graders, Abraham. And they can tell you about Abraham when he came into the land of Canaan, then God sent a famine in the land. And remember what Abraham did. He went down to Egypt with Sarah, not trusting God's promise that he would take care of them in that promised land. And in addition to that, Abraham lied to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, refusing to tell Pharaoh that Sarah was his wife, thinking that Pharaoh might kill him to take Sarah to be his wife because she was so beautiful. So he told a half-truth, that Sarah was his sister. And she was. But we see in that Abraham was leaning on his own understanding, and that brought a mess, that made a mess of things. Abraham did that later in his life too. Remember, God had promised a son. And he promised as well that from Abraham and Sarah would come a nation as great as the stars in the sky and sand on the seashore. But Abraham and Sarah were getting very old. And so they devise a plan. Abraham will go into Hagar and have a son with Hagar, and that will be the son. They'll help God along. That's Abraham and Sarah leaning on their own understanding. But as we look at Abraham, is that not a struggle for us? Is that not the very struggle of faith that we find in our own lives? It can be that in regard to our sin. We know, because we're Reformed Christians, that we are not saved by our works yet. When we do something wrong, don't we think sometimes, well, I can just kind of make up for it? Or the good things I do make up for the bad things that I do? And we see and understand then, when it comes to salvation, can you lean on your own understanding? And you would say, of course, to that, no, of course not. My good works cannot accomplish anything for my own salvation. You know that. Those good works cannot make up for the bad that I do, and they cannot pay for my sin. But not only that, I'm simply adding to my debt as a sinner. I can never save myself by my works. But the same thing is true in the things that we face in our own lives. Don't we often try to find our own way of dealing with things? The people of this world do. They turn to alcohol, they turn to drugs, they turn to television, they turn to pornography, they turn to this escape, that escape, work, whatever it may be. But there's a struggle for us too, and maybe there's some of us struggling with that in our own lives. One of those things, we're turning to something else instead of the one true and living God. We're leaning on our own understanding of things. We're trying to find our own way through this mess that we have and find in our own lives. And the Word of God says no. Lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because then you're not trusting in the Lord. You're trusting in yourself, and that's foolish. That's folly. That's not the way of wisdom. In contrast to that, to our own understanding, there's a solid rock. And that solid rock is the Lord. Lean on and trust in Him because of who He is and what He has done. That's what the text is telling us. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Jehovah. Remember this morning who He is. That name, Jehovah, is rich. So rich in meaning. It tells us about our God that He is sovereign and He is powerful. It tells us that He is perfectly self-sufficient. He's in need of no one. No one gives Him advice. No one tells Him what to do. He's perfect and complete in Himself. He's the eternal God, having no beginning and no end. There's no one who is like Him. And He is the one who's in control of our lives. And He is the one who is in control of all things. From our own understanding, it may seem like our lives are uncertain. But when we see and know the Lord, then we know that nothing is uncertain with Him. But there's more to that name. It's a name that tells us that He is a faithful covenant God. He's faithful to His covenant promises. He's Jehovah who loves His church and His people. And He so loves His church and His people that He gave to us Jesus, Jehovah's salvation, the Savior to save us from our sins. The only begotten Son of God became flesh, and He took upon Himself all the punishment of all of our sins. So we trust in Jehovah because of who He is and what He has done. That's what we want to remember and see this morning. Trust in the Lord, who is the God of your salvation. Here's truth. He is the solution to all of your problems. He has the solution to your greatest problem. He's given it. It's Jesus Christ. As you struggle with sin in your life, He has the solution to that too. The powerful work of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit works through means in our lives. He is the God who saves us. And He is a God as well who is sovereign over our lives. But we see and understand that He's the Lord of our salvation. And we see and know that He is the Lord of all our lives. Faith trusts in Him and in Him alone then. Faith is not simply being stoic. Faith is not simply not caring about anything. It's not being detached. That's not faith. Faith is not saying in our own lives, well, whatever will be, there's nothing I can do about it anyway. It's not letting go and let God, as many people say today. That's not it. Faith doesn't mean, if we're really trusting in God, that nothing bothers us. No, there are things that bother us. There are things that hard. There are tears that flow from our eyes and the pain and suffering we have in this life. There's pain in the knowledge of our sin. Those things are very great in our lives. We live what Peter experienced when he was out on the Sea of Galilee. We live our lives many times, it seems, on that storm-tossed sea. And there might be worry, and there might be some fears. But we're living in faith. Those fears are not overcoming us. It's not that our minds are out of control in those fears and anxieties that we might have. That is not faith. It's not always thinking that the sky is falling and that there is no hope. But trusting in God means we take refuge in Him. We remember His promises. We don't forget those promises. We're thinking on Him. We're thinking on what He has done. We're thinking on who He is. And we sang it. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Him. Whenever I'm afraid, whenever I'm hurting, I will rest in God, commit my way unto Him. Psalm 56, Psalm 37, how often are we remembered in the Psalms and in Scripture, trust in the Lord. Trust in Him alone, exclusive trust. Secondly, it's a comprehensive trust. That's what comes out, especially in verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. The literal idea is know Him. Know Him in all of your ways. We said earlier that this trust, this confidence, arises out of knowledge. It's what we know of Him. That's how knowledge and confidence go together. So we've learned that language of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7. What is faith? And it's a certain knowledge and assured confidence. And the two are not separated from each other, but the confidence arises out of knowledge. That tells us that there's nothing more important to know in all the world than to know the one true and living God. There's nothing more important in all the world than to have theology straight, to know God as He has revealed Himself in the Holy Scriptures, This is part of the image of God in us, recreated in us, that we know God and His love for us. What a great blessing this is, to know Him. We know God because God has revealed Himself. Not one of us here this morning can know God in truth and then confide in Him unless God works in us the ability to do that. You can't know God except God in His grace and mercy has revealed Himself, opened Himself up to you. This is what He's done in His Word then. But even then, it's not just having the Bible, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit opening our eyes, opening our hearts, so that what we know as we read this is true. This is the amazing work of God's grace. We of ourselves are blind to His truth. God has opened our eyes and He gives us this knowledge. But as He gives us this knowledge for us becomes a pursuit. The Scriptures tell us in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, that we are to grow. And that's a command, an interesting command, by the way. You don't tell plants in your garden to grow. You don't command them to do it. They grow. God makes them to do that. But God has given us a command to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That tells us that knowledge is an important pursuit for us in our lives. It's an important pursuit of faith. Knowing God ought to be a pursuit for us, that we want to know more about Him. That doesn't just happen automatically. That comes through study. That comes through the study of the Holy Scriptures. And so part of what we read here in the text when it says that we are to know Him, in all thy ways know Him, acknowledge Him. It is a command for us to pursue knowledge in our lives. Be in the Word. I mentioned that to Nate in my comments after his confession of faith. Because there is nothing more important in our lives than we're sitting down and opening our Bibles. How often do we do that? Yes, we have family worship. That's good. That may take 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes at the most. But about other times during the day, are we cracking open our Bibles? We're reading the Word of God, pursuing the true knowledge of Him, and then reading other things. Some of us might say, well, I'm not a big reader. Well, work at it anyway, because the pursuit of the knowledge of God is the most important thing for us. Grow in that knowledge. See Him and know Him. Read. You can even get books on audio so you can listen to them. You can grow in the knowledge of God in that way. But that's to be a pursuit for us, growing in the knowledge of Him. Now hear, see and understand why that is. We must see and know the Lord in all our ways. This comprehensive trust is this. In all of our ways, no matter what it is that we face, we must know the Lord. The idea is whatever we face in this life, we are to look at the Lord and see things from His perspective. Don't view things from your own perspective. That's going to be skewed and off because of sin. Don't view things from the perspective of the world because it's certainly off with all of the ungodliness and sin of this world and they take God out of the picture of everything. No, we're to see things from God's perspective. So what we said earlier about the name Jehovah, that tells us He's sovereign. Tells us He's eternal. It tells us that He is the one who is self-sufficient and independent and doesn't need any other. That's not just something to know in catechism and then file it away for a later date. Maybe I'll have to speak of that some other time. No. This is something to know so that we can see life rightly. So that when the doctor says you have masses and tumors, we see it from the perspective, I know who's in control. It's not me, it's not doctors. It's God Himself. Or smaller things. I get in a crash with my car and it's not bad, but car's totaled, I can't use it anymore. Or the battery dies, and I'm frustrated, I'm going to be late for work. Or the engine goes bad, car I just bought. It's those things too. Ah, God's sovereign. So I'm not going to respond with anger. I'm not going to respond with a fear and anxiety of things being out of control. They're not out of control. God's sovereign over all of these things. But there's more to it than that. Knowing the Lord is intimate. So when the text says, know Him, it's something that we see and understand in an intimate way. In fact, the idea of knowing is even used in the Scriptures for the sexual intimacy between a husband and his wife. And so knowing God is something intimate. It's something that is done in love as God reveals to us the secrets of His love for us. And we know Him in friendship and we know Him in companionship. And that's what we see and know through all the circumstances of life. In all things, know Him. See and know not only His sovereignty, but see and know His love as well. That all things are good and there is peace because we have a sovereign God who loves us perfectly in Jesus Christ. Know His love and love Him as well. That's what's all part of that knowledge. And so the idea is, in all thy ways, know Him. The text is calling us in everything we do to know Him as our sovereign guide and faithful friend. We're called to live this out in our lives, not living by our thoughts and our feelings about things, but by truth. That means in the decisions that we have to make. We trust in the Lord. I speak this especially to the young people, and young adults who are here and have important decisions to make in life. And at times those decisions can seem overwhelming. Because suddenly you see that these are adult decisions. These are decisions that are going to impact the rest of your life. And you feel the weight of those decisions. And there's good instruction for us to be found in the Scriptures for those decisions. For example, dating and marriage. The Word of God says, marry in the Lord. That means, therefore, date in the Lord. Doesn't mean we have to feel the pressure of finding that exact perfect one. But we follow the guidelines of God, and we must not go outside of those guidelines. But yet, we understand there is a decision to be made in who it is that we will date and who it is that we will marry. When we have decisions to make about vocation and going to school and what you will go to school for, and maybe you're trying to decide what you're going to go to school for. And so many things are not off limits. There are certain things that are off limits. Because in that work we'll be disobeying a command of God. But yet there are many other things that we can choose and decide on. And in the midst of those decisions we have to trust in the Lord, not living in fear and anxiety about the pressure that we feel in those decisions, but going forward, making decisions, and trusting that God will lead us and guide us in our lives. But it's more than that. When you sin, trust in the Lord. When you view the sins of the past, and maybe there are things of that that come up in the present, trust in the Lord. What does He say? Forgiven. To those who repent, to those who confess, what does God say? What's His promise? I forgive you. Believe that. Trust in what God says about that. Then in dealing with your sin presently. Children, listen to this too, because that's our tendency. Our tendency is to lean on our own understanding when we see our sin. What does that mean? We lean on our own understanding when we're caught in our sin and we lie. Did you do that? Nope, didn't do it. That's leaning on our own understanding. But trusting in the Lord is, I will confess my sin and know that mom and dad are merciful and know that they're merciful because I have a heavenly Father who is merciful. Trusting in the Lord in all of our ways is knowing Him in all those ways, knowing His love and His faithfulness to us. And that means we trust in the Lord. We know Him in all the difficulties and hardships and adversities of life as well, when it seems like things are spiraling out of control. This is where we are to keep our minds, or keep our minds fixed on Him. Psalm 61, the psalmist there prays that when his heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I'm convinced that part of what the psalmist is saying there is when his heart is overwhelmed, that in his own mind, the Lord would work in him so that he would remember the Lord and not forget Him in the midst of all of that. And that's what we easily do sinfully. We forget the Lord. We forget who He is. We forget His promises, just like Peter walking out in the Sea of Galilee. He forgot the power of Jesus for a moment. He began to look at the power of the waves and he began to sink. Same thing happens to us in adversity and hardship. And we're reminded, no, keep our eyes fixed on Him. That's what the passage is saying to us. Him alone in all things, exclusive and comprehensive. We acknowledge Him then by resting in Him, by following Him in all of our lives, whatever it is that we face. So we've seen exclusive. We have seen as well comprehensive this trust is. And now finally, there's a confidence. That's the end of verse 6. And He shall direct our paths. Literally, the idea is He shall make our paths straight or smooth. The implication of this is that our paths in this life become crooked and uneven. That's true for many different respects in our lives. Our paths become crooked and uneven in our sin. But also they become crooked and uneven from our perspective and the hardship and difficulty that we have. Our lives can take an unexpected turn and twist, as it were. It appears that things are very crooked and things are out of control. Especially we see that when there is difficulty in our lives. And we may be more aware of that and conscious of that the older that we get. Now the idea of the text here is that Jehovah levels or straightens them. Now this we must understand very carefully. This does not mean that when we trust in God like we should, then after that, He's going to make the way very easy. Anybody who has trusted in the Lord through a hardship and difficulty in their life understands that that does not automatically mean that life will be easy from our perspective. But yet there's another perspective from which things do get easier, not because the circumstances change, but because my viewpoint changes. And I take on God's viewpoint. For example, what we find in 2 Corinthians 4, that the burdens of this life are lightened but for a moment. If we were just going to look at our burdens and hardships from the perspective of what I go through, none of us would ever say light and but for a moment. But when we understand who God is, when we understand what God is doing, then we understand light and but for a moment. Our perspective changes. And that's the idea here of the text. When we're trusting in the Lord like we should, that doesn't change everything in our lives. It changes my perspective. So that there's this confidence, and the confidence that God is working through all of these things to accomplish His purpose. Satan, he's working something very different. He wants us to be filled with doubts and fears. But God, He is working to bring us to a destination. And the destination is sure and certain. It's hard when we're young to think about that destination. We know it's there and we talk about it. But the older we get, that destination becomes more real. It's the destination of heavenly life. God is working all things to bring us to that sure destination of everlasting life with Him. He creates the right path to glory for each one of us. And we see that in the cross and the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Here, this is for the strengthening of our faith as well. Look at Jesus. See the suffering that He went through in His life. Not just the suffering that He went through at the hands of men who hated Him. But He endured what we deserve for our sins. We're going to be looking at that in the next couple lessons of combined Bible study in Mark chapter 14 and into chapter 15 as well, seeing the great suffering of our Savior. Although we're familiar with the history, that should make an impression upon us what our Savior went through when He took upon Himself the guilt and the punishment of all our sins. If ever it would have seemed hopeless, it would have been there, except there was the big picture. That through that work of Jesus, our salvation was accomplished. He arose from the dead. He ascended into heavenly life. He broke the power of the grave. And because of that, we know that we will never be lost. That's our confidence. That's our confidence this morning, the confidence of faith. Remember the question. Can we really trust in God? Why would we trust in God? It's because of who He is. It's because of what He has done. It's because of what He is doing. So may our trust be rooted in that which is solid. Not leaning on my own understanding. That's like sitting on a broken or a paper chair. But leaning on that which can hold us up, the rock, God Himself and our Savior Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord and in Him alone. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for Thy Word. We're thankful for the hope and promises that it gives to us. We're thankful for this renewed perspective that we might have. Give us this perspective as we live our lives with all the twists and turns that we face in this life. And we know that we can and we must trust in Thee and in Thee alone. We're thankful, Father, for the gift of faith. Strengthen this faith within us day by day. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.